These guys have earnings coming up next week.
Then you got the labor. I mean, the labor here is tremendous. I mean,
15.3% is the number, which is alarming.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It is 12:10 here in the Allstate Skyline Studio. Welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch and Tuesday afternoon here high atop the Chicago River. A little bit later in the program, Kelly Leonard will be here. Of course, he's the host of the podcast Getting to Yes And. And an interesting guest he has talking about bringing religion to the workplace and why there's value in that. So we'll pick Kelly's brain about that a little bit later. But we'd like to start on Tuesdays with John Najarian, fresh from the halftime report on CNBC. He takes off his makeup, picks up a phone, and gives us a call. John, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Great to be with you, Stephen. Thank you.
You missed a smudge there on your chin. Did you see that? The makeup, I'm worried about it.
Yeah, I did. I just got that stuff off. I can never wait to get that stuff off.
Let's talk tariffs, because everyone does. The White House talking about new tariffs against the EU this time, I think about $11 billion annually. And this has to do with a long-running... we're always fighting over the airplane makers, right? They're upset with the Boeing brakes, and we're upset with Airbus brakes.
Yeah, and subsidies or incentives that each country gives those gigantic producers of revenue for those countries, because obviously every aircraft they sell is hundreds of millions of dollars. So, and they're big employers too, quite frankly. So both of us subsidize to some extent, one way or another, either through military contracts and both do military as well as commercial aviation. And that's something that the president likes to rail about. I would counsel him, if he was listening to me, to not focus on this so much, because fighting a war on two fronts, I've never seen somebody win when they do that.
And the other front would be China.
Yes.
All right. Let me ask you kind of a weird question. We hear about Boeing. We hear about Airbus. Now, a lot of the topics...
It's just critical.
A lot of the topics today have to do with problems... with the grounding of the 737s, but I don't think Boeing's going to go away. But what if it were to go away? Is Airbus the only player then?
Yeah, and there's no way they can fulfill all of the demand that there is. In fact, with the duopoly that they've got, they can barely handle, and that's why the backlogs for both carriers or both aviation companies is so high. I mean, it's over $12 billion. For Boeing, and I believe Airbus is over $5 billion at least in backlog. And that's with them basically cutting out now the A380s, those super jumbos that just take too long to load and are not really suitable for passengers the way that they thought that they would be.
And what Boeing, I think, as I recall, had a rough day yesterday. Is it any better today, or do they continue to suffer?
They're down again, and they're back down into the 360s, like 368-ish, 369, which has been where it's bounced. That's where people come in and defend it. Those people would be probably, long-term holders of that stock that come in and buy it at that level. And thus far, they've defended that, and even though it's had these problems, it's still up, I believe, even today, 17% on the year.
Now, Boeing, that's Boeing. American Airlines was out with some guidance today, said that they've been hurt by this grounding of the 737 as well as by the government shutdown. What's the situation there?
It's going to be yet to be determined what the force majeure, I'm sure you've heard that phrase before, Stephen, when basically... things that fall under almost the act of God, when you cannot fly a plane because it is taken out of commercial aviation because of an issue like this. It's happened before with the Dreamliner. It just didn't last as long.
Right.
And Airbus has had their own issues, too. But when you have that, it is really an issue that the airlines have to go out and rent other aircraft to fulfill the obligation they take on when they sell those seats. They ultimately go back and sue through either going after their carriers, the insurance carrier, or going after the manufacturer directly, and I think that's yet to be seen how much they'll recover of the losses that they clearly are incurring right now.
Well, and that goes back to the strength of Boeing and the fact that we can't afford to have it go anywhere, I guess.
True.
Earnings season starting. The banks are coming up pretty quickly, I think later this week. And everything I read is that everyone's bracing for lower profits this time around. Is that what you see as well?
In some cases, in certain sectors, yes. Jamie Dimon seemed very upbeat last week, the last time he could really talk about things in general that might have to do with his company. And he was saying that he sees better use of his capital buying things rather than paying it out in either dividends or shares repurchased. So to me, Steve, that tells me maybe he's going to do a deal. If we see a deal out of Jamie Dimon, it's not going to be too long before Corbett over at Citi or Moynihan or any of these other guys decide they have to do a deal as well.
Hey, I want to ask you about your tips, what you're looking at today, but one more. Netflix is down today, not much, but I don't think this is related to their drop, but they announced today they're delaying the release of their movie that stars Felicity Huffman, this film Otherwood, which was set to come out a little bit later this month. So this is sort of the Netflix suffering a little bit because of this Varsity Blues scandal.
Yeah, I don't think it's that reason, or if it is, it's just a slight downtick. Right. We were actually buying it, so I can fit this into both those things you were talking about. What's my final? While we were buying a lot of Netflix today on any softness because of big institutional positioning in the stock over the next several weeks. So I bought more of that stock today.
Give me one more. What else are you looking at?
All right. We also saw pretty good activity in PVH. This is the company that sells brands like Tommy Hilfiger as well as Calvin Klein. And they are down from $168 a share last June into the 90s at the December lows. Now they're about one, a lot of upgrades. So we jumped on that one today as well.
John Najarian from CNBC. Follow him at johnnajarian.com, at Twitter, I should say, at John Najarian, and the Najarian Family Office as well. Thanks for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you as always.
It's 12:22. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch here on 720 WGN, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank. All right, on the phone line now is Kelly Leonard. You know, Kelly stops by from time to time. He's the host of the podcast, Getting to Yes And. Kelly, welcome back to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you for having me.
Getting to Yes And is an improv phrase where, tell me about it. Tell me where the phrase comes from.
Yeah, the idea, central idea on improv is you get nowhere by saying no, and you can't stop saying yes. You have to say yes and. That's how you start a scene and stay inside a scene.
And Second City and others have moved toward bringing the skills and the talents you develop in improv to the business world, right? And this is sort of an offshoot of that.
Yeah, we talked to different business leaders and thought leaders about the way these ideas connect with what they're finding in their business. We don't often touch on religion, but we do that this week.
Okay, so this is fascinating to me. Nicholas Pierce, he's a professor, a teacher at Northwestern University in the business school, right? And he's got a book out called The Purpose Path. He's also an associate pastor at the Apostolic Church of God on the south side of Chicago. So you've got a preacher and a professor.
That sounds like
it sounds like a 1970s sitcom.
It does. It sounds like a terrible 1970s sitcom. It makes for a fantastic book in 2019.
Okay,
and
he's got
a really engaging guy.
He's got this phrase called, we need to, quote, connect your soul with your role. What does that mean?
So what he's really talking about is you're not going to get to your great work unless you both understand what great work means to you and that you truly align what you know you need to be doing with the thing you're doing. So it's this idea that they've discovered in the sort of science of business that purpose is really important. And he goes into his idea of where you find purpose. And for him, that's in his relationship with his creator.
He says, I'm sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead, Kelly. I'm sorry.
It's really interesting because, you know, I don't know. I think as a younger person, I was definitely like separation of church and state also
right.
applies to business.
Right.
But he says how he expresses his relationship with God is just as important in the public square as is in his private prayer. And the work we've done with behavioral scientists and all the people in the business schools is that's absolutely correct, that the more I know about you and what you care about and who you are, the better we'll be able to collaborate and the more successful we'll be in that collaboration.
He says we're leading sort of inauthentic lives if we leave part of it at home and keep it out of the workplace.
Yeah, and that's a line the line I use all the time is I don't understand why people ditch their humanity when they, you know, walk into a business. That you would think you'd want to use that, and he yes-handed that idea.
And yet, I think, you know, and Philip Weiss is going to be on later this week. And he talks about, you know, workplaces and lawsuits and things like that in the workplace. I would think that they would warn against someone bringing their religion too strongly to the workplace, whether it's Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, whatever it is.
It's funny, that was one of my first questions, is like, do you get a lot of blowback on this? and he doesn't, because he's not talking about leading prayer circles at work. He's talking about being able to express what your belief and faith is and making sure that aligns with the work you're doing. And so this enters a whole other area of like ethics and business, which I think is important. I think where we've seen ethical breakdowns of business, which can destroy a business, think about Enron,
sure.
was that people weren't feeling a willingness to speak their truth, to sort of say, that's not right. Because, you know, the fact is, when you do that, it's going to be uncomfortable. Living your faith doesn't mean your life's going to be easier. It's probably going to be the other way.
I was just going to ask you about that, because that's in the notes you sent me. He said that it is an inconvenient thing and a harder thing to do.
Yeah. And look, I think we've all faced this, right? I can think back in my career where I had a major client who was paying us a lot of money, we didn't want to do what they were asking us to do. And I had to go to my owner, and luckily I've got an owner who actually operates in an ethical framework, and he said, walk away. But not everyone has that. So you've got to be willing, I think, to make some pretty hard decisions if you want to align these things. But as he said, you know, when you get older, that's the thing you look back on your career and say, you know, am I happy with where I am? Am I happy with what I did? And if you made those compromises, you're probably going
to
say no.
And one more quick thing then. He says that business people are more likely to be able to talk about the business than they are their own meaning, articulate the meaning of their business than their own meaning in life.
Yeah, so I've totally seen this, where you have a business leader who understands vision and mission as it relates to their business, but they cannot say what it means for themselves. And if those two things aren't aligned, and Nicholas has a lot of science to back this up, those people aren't happy. They're not happy ultimately when they go home. They're probably not happy when they come to work. I think those are a lot of the bosses that are the screamers and not very sort of successful managing the relationship. So you really do want to align those two things.
Great food for thought here. The name of the book is The Purpose Path. Nicholas Pierce is the author, and Kelly Leonard hosts him on the podcast Getting to Yes and at WGNRadio.com. Thank you, friend. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Dave.